The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7 to verse 12. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. May the Lord bless in the reading of his sacred word. The title of my message today is God Has Everything for You. Whatever you want to ask according to his will, but did you ask? The answer is no, particularly Singapore Christians. While we live in a region of terrible turmoil, such as in the Philippines, the rioting in Indonesia and the burning of churches so recent, and in Thailand, a new premier is also under investigation, turmoil everywhere. But God has specially protected Singapore and blessed us with a stable and a good government where law is kept. And he has also blessed us from the ravages of natural disaster such as typhoons. I just read in the church paper that there are at least 22 typhoons in the Philippines every year, and the extraordinary might come. And our friendly Bible college at Hilltop of Reverend Dan Ebert III was struck by the typhoon, so that the roof has been blown partly off and many trees are uprooted, including the mango trees that produce for the college. Great devastation. But here in Singapore, we live very comfortable. And we say, we have never had it so good, as I understand this year there is record sale of goodies in the Chinatown area. And people just queue up for bak kwa. I do not understand. Maybe they think that by eating that, it's lucky food. And they have this fish will bring them luck. So all the New Year blessings, they'll draw a fish, because it rhymes with every year you have surplus. Nian nian you yu, and there's a fish. So we tend to forget God. So we never ask. And we are like the Laodicean church, the seven churches of Asia, but the last one is called Laodicea. And it is neither cold nor hot, because she has all the good things around her to keep her warm. And the church of Laodicea says, I am rich and increase of goods, and I have need of nothing. Isn't that the situation with us? I remember many years ago, Reverend Wilson Wong, he's already gone to be with the Lord, and he preached in a church. And he said, the trouble with us is we are too rich and we have need of nothing. I agree. No one can say that Singaporean is poor. Even the struggling bread earner of the lower income group is much better off than the rich in the poor countries around us. But Jesus comes and he chides the church of Laodicea. You say that you are rich, but let me tell you that you are wretched. You say that you are well off, I say to you that you are miserable and you are poor. And you say that you know everything, but you are blind. And finally, you are naked. These are the five words of admonition and rebuke from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an x-ray picture of our spiritual level of life. So he counsels the church of Laodicea to buy gold from him. Gold that is purified in the fire. This means faith. Faith that is well exercised. Faith in us that we will cling and look to God. I counsel you to buy white raiment, because you are naked, your sins are seen, and you need the white raiment of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover you, the righteousness of Christ. This may mean that there are a number of you who are still not saved. When we do not come into the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then all our sins are still there and exposed. You are naked. And finally it says, you say that you see, but I say that you are blind. So buy of me eye lotion, eye salve, to wash your eyes. The eye salve, the eye lotion, is the Holy Spirit, which must test us whether we are born again. For except a man be born again, he will never enter into the kingdom of God. And so, that is what we are. And James analyzes the situation and he says, you have not because you ask not. A prayerless people are very miserable outside the orbit of God's blessing. You have not and you ask not. So we are left in the cold. Then finally, James points his finger at us that you ask and you don't get, you receive not. Because you ask amiss, you ask the wrong thing. Fancy one of our lifers will come to me and he says, I've got here $100,000. And I think it's much better to put in the CPF. And I can make some quick money by my good luck and by my acumen in business. Now, Pastor, you pray for me. And if I make, I'll give 50% to the church. Well, it sounds quite good for the pastor because he can get more money for the Bueller house. But there's a great danger in speculative business. And I've known a brother how he at one time was very glad he gave an offering to the church. But he was in speculation. But later on he lost all the money. And he also did not come to church. And so, can the pastor pray then for this one going to speculative business and also hope to get a part of the proceeds? But the newspaper reports that all those who take their CPF money out had lost out in degrees, this or that, and finally, the sum total is that if they kept all the money in their CPF, they would have more money. So all the speculation and asking God to bless. You receive not because you ask amiss, you ask the wrong things. So please don't blame God. There are many things seemingly good that He will not answer and give to us. Like a parent who knows that a little penknife coming into the hand of a 3-year-old is very dangerous. It is very good for the parent to use it to cut this or that, sharpen pencil. But in the hands of the youngster, it can spell great trouble and danger. Now the question is, why must we ask? Why must we pray? We are a prayerless people. Jesus answers by giving a very good illustration. An earthly father, when the son will ask for bread, breakfast in the morning, will he give him a stone? When they ask for a fish, lunch, will they give you a snake? And in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11, verse 12, if the son will ask an egg, that refers to dinner. Will the father give him a scorpion? That will be the least. And Jesus said, if you, being evil, you are all sinners, and you know how to give the best things to your son, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the best? Solomon was very wise. And God was testing him. What do you want? He was becoming a king. And he never asked for riches or power or the lives of his enemies. All he asked was, please give me wisdom, that I may know how to rule these people, not for his own glory, but for God. And God was so touched. He said, now I'll give you everything. God will give us everything according to his will to help us, to prosper us. What father will not want to see his son rise up? And yet, because we are too well off, we don't ask. Like the prodigal son, when he was still filled with money from the father's estate, and he enjoyed wine, women, and song, he did not care until he came in a time of great recession in the land, of famine. And then he thought of the father, I'm eating swine food, pig food. Now I'll go back and be a servant and he will feed me and I'll be alright. Let us, like the prodigal son, now arise and say, I'll return to my father. He has plenty of good things. And why should I be hungering here. Spiritual hunger. And I lose out. That's why I have got so many problems. My wallet got stolen. $1,000 inside. My car, I had a langa, and then now is 3 weeks in the workshop. Now I get sick. And I pray that none of you will get cancer. It is so common now. And then you blame God. Why you send it to me? We must never blame God for anything. Because none can do better than God. And none is wiser and none is more merciful than Him. One good comment by Calvin is, when we are too well off and we forget God, God must chastise us in some way by sending sickness or accident or loss of money, theft, and so forth. So, let us come back to Him and ask Him especially to help us in life's many problems. Now, in the Gospel of St. Luke, that is the parallel account of St. Matthew, that is the addition that God will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of Him, how much more will He not only give you the daily food you want, but He'll give you the best gift, namely Himself, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the infallible guide to our lives, many, many problems. You remember how the Apostle Paul was going to preach the gospel further into the west, and it went down to the southwest of Asia. The Holy Spirit forbade him. So he went to the northeast of Bithynia. Again, the Holy Spirit forbade him. Then he went the central line to Troas. And there, the Lord showed to Paul the way is to go into Europe. And so he made a straight course from Troas. He trues, Malay word, went into Europe to the very famous town of Philippi. So in the same way, when we make certain determinations, and these are the two areas where we most need the guide of the Holy Spirit, especially for young people. First is career, and the second is marriage. Oh, the many, many problems. There are 600 odd doctors concerned with the government service, and a good portion of them regretted. He said, if I knew, I wouldn't be a doctor. Of course, I thought of the happy part is the doctor makes a lot of money. But then you've got to go through the mills and do your housemanship and all that, working 14, 15 hours a day and no extra pay. So, from here you should learn a lesson. And if you want to be a doctor, you better think carefully. Why not be a teacher? And then the teacher complained, we work so much, and we also want to resign. But one of the best decisions you can make is, when you come to the end of the rope of the life, and you realize, maybe the Lord is calling me. There's no better person to serve than our Lord Jesus Christ. And so then I'll give myself to Him. I think that is a very good decision. But again, you must have the call and have the Lord leading you. But I will now come to marriage that we need very much His leading. In all my 50 years of ministry, I do not know how many couples have married. And not only them, but their children and soon maybe their grandchildren. But this is the strangest case of all that I'll tell you. A young lady came to me and she says, "This is my future husband, and she has been attending church, and now he has been baptized, and I want to marry him, though he is a drug addict." Well, I said, if he is repented, that's all right. But 2 weeks before the marriage was to be consummated, she came to report to me, "But now he has gone back to drugs." I said, "Oh, then I won't marry. That is going to be a very dangerous thing. If he truly loves you, he should keep from drugs. Well, the temptation is great and we must excuse him." I said, "I foresee great danger in your case. And I do not want to be associated with any disaster after this, so I do not want to marry you and your future husband." Well, she went to another pastor and then they got married there. This is courting disaster. After 3 months, a young lady came to see me. He said, "Pastor, you were right. Now we are divorced." To let the thing happen and you know that it is going to be a ruinous thing. So that is an example. Sometimes we just follow our passion, our desire, and they say, "I don't care." But later on, you had it. There are those who know truly that they cannot marry non-Christian. And they get married to non-Christians. And very interestingly, I hear that there is a church in Sri Lanka that they will marry a member of the church with a non-Christian, hoping that in this way, the believer will bring the unbeliever into the church, practicing what is known as marital evangelism. Well, this happened in China because in those days there were not too many Christian girls. And the father would be very happy if they can pick a young lady that they like and they marry her in. But in those days, the power of the family was very great. So somehow, the young lady later on capitulated. Well, that is not bad if she would take the line of faith of the husband and the husband's family. But today is the other way around. You marry a non-Christian, you will be led into the world. I've seen that too. Of a young lady who was very zealous, and suddenly she announced, "I'm going to marry this young man." I said, "How is it so soon? You never told me." She said, all is fixed already. Cannot be helped. I've not seen her face here anymore. It's the other way, being drawn into the world. And I studied the case particularly of single ladies. And sometimes it is very nervous on their part. As age is catching on, and then, well, you yield to the temptation and so forth, and not on the terms of Christ, not on the terms of the Word of God. And they land in trouble. Why? They did not appeal to the Holy Spirit. The Father has given us all good things. like an earthly father, even more, how much more will he not give you the Holy Spirit? At first I didn't understand what is the reason the Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit is our best advisor. And when we yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit also works through pastors and elders. And we cannot depend on our own wisdom to say, I'll do this anyway. You should consult those who are your spiritual leaders, and they will help you to understand. Or, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, nevertheless, you keep to your good present position and wait. And here's the case of Ruth. Because she believed in the Lord, the God of Naomi, all she did was, I don't care anything, I'll follow my mother-in-law. She is my source of blessing. And as she did not think of her own welfare and future, but left it entirely to the Lord, when he came to Bethlehem from Moab, where Naomi had been staying, sojourning in the foreign land, the Lord woke it up, and you know the story of how Ruth came to the attention of Boaz. And later on she became the great-grandmother of David. A wonderful arrangement by the Lord himself. The important thing therefore is to wait on the Lord and let him guide you. Finally then, how must we ask? The three steps are ASK, ask, seek, knock. With increasing intensity we ask, and they don't have it at first, but we seek. And then finally we knock hard, then it will be open. The people who come to the parsonage, they are very courteous and knock very soft. You can hardly hear. If the inmates did not hear, you must knock hard. And then someone will come, bound to be. And Jesus says that we must be importunate, must be insisting in our prayer. We are a prayerless people, and so we lose out, but now we must learn to pray, to ask. And he gives two parables. One is a friend has come to see me, and I go and ask my friend, the other friend, please lend me 3 loaves of bread. It's midnight now. And a friend who is now sleeping said, oh, don't bother me. My children and I are in bed, and I am very sleepy. But then because he is his friend, and he kept on asking, he must come up and give him the 3 loaves of bread. That is called importunity. Asking with a very keen appeal. Then Jesus gives another example. There is a judge in the city who does not fear God or man. But a widow came and asked him to redress her case against her enemy. She comes on Monday. She comes on Tuesday. By the time she comes on Wednesday, the judge got very flabbergasted. Very disturbed. All right. I will open the door and I will judge her case. This is how we must ask. And I think it's a good idea to pray and tell the Lord all our affairs, our troubles, our difficulties, when you get up in the morning and seek Him with all our might. And I think it's a good idea, by the evening when they're going to bed, we revise the appeal and say, Lord, have you done it for me? We must spend a period of prayer. But I'm afraid today all the children who are brought up under the new generation, they don't say good morning to their grandparents, they don't pray, and then off they are to school. They are too late. And at night they go to bed, maybe also forgetting. It may be like that. But it is so important for us to seek the Lord and tell Him all our troubles with intensity and purpose. Dr. John Soong, the great revivalist of the 1935, he proposed that we all pray aloud. Corporate prayer, all praying aloud. In those days, the Holy Spirit worked mightily and we all prayed aloud, but it was one harmonious chorus to God. I can still enjoy. The reason he says that many times we are praying silently, we go to sleep. And not only that, our thoughts wander, not coherent. What do you want to tell the Lord? And so it's a very good thing for us to learn how to ask and to seek and to knock. And that forms the word ask. And for us to practice a season of prayer ourselves, assigned time morning and night. We have a prayer meeting and it is attended by 80 to 100. As announced in the weekly, you know the figure. Can that figure be increased? Of course, we have a church of so many people. But those who should be here do not come. Why? Simply the spirit of prayerlessness. I am rich and increased in goods and I have need of nothing in our present happy-go-lucky circumstance. I'll tell you that we knew how to pray during the Second World War. When the bombs are raining around, we all cried. We kneel in the shelter and cried aloud, Lord, please, please, help. Save us, save us. And then when we were staying in the countryside and we dig trenches, and then the shells started to rain around us. Oh, we got even more frightened. And we cried aloud in a loud voice, everyone, Lord, Lord. Why don't you pray? The circumstances are such that I am increased in goods, I'm rich, and I have need of nothing. In that case, the Lord will send you trouble, will He? He might. And then you begin to pray. I would like to conclude my message with this testimony. As a pastor, you bear all the burdens of the church. And sometimes the burdens are very tricky and will require very much wisdom. Then we've got lawyers in our session. So we appeal to our lawyer, session member, what shall we do? Sometimes we have sickness, we appeal to our doctors. But I have to carry the burden anyway. And this burden particularly is our nursing camp that the government has given the name Resort Lautan Biru. At first they gave us a very big name, Makota, because we are along the Pantai Makota on the beach. Makota means crown of prince. Then they reduced it to Lautan Biru, Blue Sea. Okay, never mind. But the building has already been finished for at least over 1 month. And why don't they give the CFO, Certificate of Fitness for Occupation? And then there are rumors of this and that, that they are anti-Christian. They found out that this is a Christian setup, and they will impose certain measures on you that you have to do this or that. Another thing is that with all the religious feelings these days, Muslims are against Christians. And then we are in a Muslim country. You are surrounded. And then we are worried about some young people from us who are zealous, overzealous, who give tracts to the Malays. All these things bombard on me. And what are we going to do? And then the Lord forced me to pray. And that's the only way. Just pray. And pray and say, Lord, you know everything and you can work out everything, and Chinese New Year is a happy time, maybe they'll let go. And as to the situation of being anti-Christian, we prayed that the Lord will send His holy angels to encamp around our beautiful resort. It's a beautiful resort, as certified by the Adult Fellowship. It's a wonderful place for all of us. After much prayer and say, Lord, you send the holy angels around them, then I feel very happy. Okay, we've got all our angels surrounding us. What can they do to us? When you pray, then the Lord will confirm your hearts that He is with you. He, in other words, has answered our prayer. God has everything for us, for you. But did you ask? Don't ask for millionaires. Ask for God's kingdom. And all these things that you need will be added unto you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, how happy we are to come into a holy presence, to kneel and bow down before Thee. Forgive us of our sins, of prayerlessness, of not asking from You when You have plenty to give us. Whatever problem it may be with Your people, Lord, each one in one way or another, may You answer our heart's request and help us to be a prayerful people, to pray every day, and to lead our children to pray. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.